This is I'm Game If You Are, a Stranger Things fanfic, written by Tara Waters and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for psychic abilities, magic use during sex, light bondage, POV Chrissy Cunningham. Chrissy Cunningham lives. Recreational drug use. Banff Chrissy Cunningham. And is part two of the series, Chrissy Lives. Summary. When Chrissy Cunningham started buying mushrooms from Eddie Munson, she never would have guessed at one particular side effect. Author's notes. I wrote this for a July break bingo. It fulfills the following squares. Oh, wow, you really weren't kidding. How do I know I can trust you? I'll be good, I promise. Kink, magic used during sex, moon and stars. If I get anything wrong about the drugs used here, despite the obvious that in the real world, drugs don't give you superpowers, please go easy on me. I have no experience and did very minimal research. So, honey, Chrissy's mother asks, subtly frowning at the black leather jacket she's wearing. Eddie found it for her at a thrift shop, and it's a little worn around the edges, but comfortable. It makes her feel more badass, too. Do you have any plans for spring break? It's coming up in, what, 3 weeks? Well, I can't go anywhere the last Friday of school because yearbook has a very important meeting that I can't miss. Chrissy slips a bite of her cereal into her mouth to conceal the lie. That Friday is Hellfire Club, and she knows for a fact that Eddie's planning a big finale for the Vecna campaign they've been playing all school year. Why? What were you thinking? Just a trip for us girls. Maybe up into Michigan? Stay on the lake, catch some sun, and gab? I feel like I hardly know you anymore. Chrissy bit her tongue so she wouldn't point out how her mother very clearly didn't want to know the person she really was. She only wanted to know perfect, thin, cheerleader Chrissy. She didn't seem to care at all about leather-wearing, junk-food-eating, Dungeons and Dragons-playing, nameless. Won't it still be too cold for the lake? Chrissy looked out the window at the rain, which wasn't all that much warmer than snow. Honestly, I'm fine to stay here and hang out with my yearbook friends. You don't have to plan anything special on my account. To get out of the conversation faster, Chrissy ate the rest of her cereal as quickly as she could, ignoring her mother's glare. Chrissy always had to be polite, but Nameless did whatever the fuck she wanted and owned it. At least it was almost time for Eddie to pick her up for school. She passed her father in the hallway, giving him a short hug. Bye, Dad. And then grabbed her bag and left the house. Eddie always picked her up a few blocks from her house. She did not need her mother seeing Eddie and realizing he wasn't a nice boy from yearbook. Chrissy scoffed to herself at that thought. Eddie was the nicest boy she'd ever met. He was certainly a lot nicer than Jason had ever been. Her mother had loved Jason. When she reached the intersection where she was going to meet Eddie, she took a compact mirror and the makeup her mother didn't know she had out of her bag. On went the blue eyeshadow her mother hated, then the eyeliner and mascara, blush and powder, and finally, at the end, the reddest lipstick Chrissy had been able to find. As she finished, Eddie pulled up to the curb, and when she opened the passenger door, he whistled. Looking good, Nameless! Feeling good, she replied, hopping into her seat, then leaning over and giving him a kiss. Some of her lipstick rubbed off on him, but Chrissy didn't tell him. She liked it when people could see he had a girlfriend. I think it's going to be a good day.
Well, you're rarely wrong. And I could use some of that good day mojo.
Mrs. O'Donnell's test?
Oh, yeah.
Chrissy reached over, setting her hand on Eddie's shoulder and squeezing gently.
You can do this. We practiced all yesterday afternoon. As long as you stay sober, it'll be great. Easier said than done, babe,
he said, covering her hand with one of his own.
Easier said than done.
After school, Chrissy followed Eddie into his bedroom, flopping down onto his bed.
I'm glad school is almost over, she said. Not that I know what I'm doing after graduation, but school? I'm done.
Hey, be glad you're going to pass on the first try, Eddie said with a laugh, digging into his stash.
He pulled out a mushroom, broke it in half, and gave Chrissy the smaller portion.
Any more trouble from your parents?
Chrissy rolled her eyes, putting the mushroom in her mouth, chewing and swallowing, before she told him about her mom wanting to go on a spring break trip.
She didn't like my jacket either, Chrissy told him with a pout, as he put the other mushroom half away and sat down on the bed next to her. Can you imagine if she managed to see my tattoo? She'd go ballistic.
Eddie laughed, laying on his side next to her, hugging her close and kissing her cheek.
After the trim wears off, I wouldn't mind seeing your tattoo again.
Chrissy giggled, turning her head and kissing Eddie.
I could show you right now. Ah, but that's against the rules.
You love breaking rules. Kissing Chrissy again, he said.
Not this one, sweetheart.
Fine, she said with a pout. You know, for a Satan-loving deviant, you're very chivalrous. With another laugh, Eddie kissed her, cupping her face with his warm hand.
You enjoy your trip. I've got the last few sessions of our game to plan.
She hummed in agreement. Though you should probably write that paper first, honey. Unless you want to try senior year a fourth time.
Where were you during my first two attempts?
Eddie kissed Chrissy's nose.
You're right.
He sat up, digging through his school things and coming back with a book he was supposed to be analyzing, a notebook, and a pen.
Just need to get a C with this one, and I'll be in good shape for the rest of the semester.
C's get degrees.
Chrissy sang before breaking off into a giggle. She felt the mushroom start to take effect and closed her eyes, surrendering to it.
Maybe she didn't need to do this anymore. She was in a much better place than she had been back in fall, but it just felt so good.
Everything else fell away, and Chrissy felt awash with love. At least, every other time she'd felt awash with love.
This time,
the love was still there, but it felt like there was a dark presence underneath everything. She rolled to the side of the bed, looking over it and down at the floor.
Baby?
Eddie asked,
rubbing her back.
Everything okay?
The overhead light flickered, like it always did. And Chrissy replied,
Yeah, I think so. I just feel like I've forgotten something I should know. Like, I should know why the floor feels dark.
Okay,
he replied with a slight chuckle, rubbing her back again.
I'm sure it's fine. Remember, the hallucinations aren't real.
Right, Chrissy giggled and turned back over. Looking up at the light, she almost felt like she could reach out and
the light bulb popped, going dark. Shit,
Eddie said, standing up and tapping on the light fixture. There was still enough light coming through the window to see,
but probably not enough for Eddie to read by. Finally gave out, I guess.
Eddie, I think I did that.
Did what?
Chrissy pointed at the light.
I made the bulb burn out. I didn't mean to.
Nameless, it's just the drugs, remember?
He leaned down and pressed a kiss to her forehead.
Just a coincidence. I think we've got some more bulbs in the kitchen. I'll go find one.
Yeah, okay, Chrissy said as he left the room. But she still felt that something real had just happened. If she could make a light burn out, what else could she do? It was like a magic spell, right? Being able to do things from a distance?
Looking around the room, Chrissy noticed a shirt hanging on a hook next to the closet.
Just sort of knowing she could do it, Chrissy reached out and pushed it.
It swung back and forth on the hook a few times before coming to rest. Eddie came back into the room, a light bulb in hand.
Found one.
Eddie, look,
Chrissy said, pointing to the shirt and pushing it again. It swung back and forth again.
Am I hallucinating that?
He took a step back, watching as the shirt came back to rest.
What the fuck?
You see it too?
She pushed it again.
Eddie, I'm magic!
Oh, wow, you really weren't kidding.
He made a coughing sort of laugh.
Jesus Christ, do it again.
Chrissy pushed again, and the shirt fell right off the hook.
Baby,
Eddie said, eyes still on the shirt, but stepping closer and putting his hand on her shoulder.
I always knew you were magical, but this? Holy shit!
He shook his head, rubbing his hand across her back.
Please tell me this is a prank. Nameless? Please?
It's not, Chrissy told him, pulling Eddie down so he was sitting next to her.
I wouldn't do that to you, Eddie. I just opened my mind. He laughed again, still sounding a bit skeptical.
The hippies were actually onto something?
I guess so.
Chrissy fell into a giggling fit, her attention drawn to Eddie's Bahamut poster. The platinum dragon stood in front of a night sky full of stars and a bright yellow moon.
Maybe I really am nameless. She's a wizard. I'm a wizard too.
God damn, you certainly are,
he said, with another disbelieving laugh before his face fell.
Sweetheart, we can't tell anyone about this. You know what this town is like. If they find out...
They might blame Hellfire, Chrissy says in agreement, somehow feeling Eddie's fear wafting off him.
It's okay. It'll be our little secret.
She couldn't help but giggle again.
I like having secrets with you.
Yeah. Me too,
he told her, his fear replaced with something that felt more like admiration and love.
Me too, Nameless.
As the mushrooms started to wear off, Chrissy stopped by the bathroom and washed most of her makeup off. Eddie drove her most of the way home, pulling over a few blocks away and leaning over to give her a kiss.
See you tomorrow, magic girl.
Chrissy smiled, still sort of in shock about what had happened.
See you tomorrow, Eddie.
She slid from the van, closing the door, and walked home, lost in thought.
What if she could only do magic after taking mushrooms? What was she supposed to use this ability for? The thought of using it to fight, like her D&D character did, was overwhelming. Chrissy wasn't a fighter. Not in real life. Maybe it was a mistake. For a few minutes, she got an ability that was meant for someone else. Someone more worthy. After getting home, Chrissy ate dinner with her parents, not really paying attention to the conversation they were having. At one point, her mother said, "Are you all right?" "Huh?" Chrissy asked, taking a few seconds to process what she'd said. No, I'm fine. Just tired. It was a long day." Her mother shook her head. "I don't know, sweetie. I think this yearbook committee is taking a lot out of you. Maybe you should quit." "I can't do that," Chrissy cried, unable to picture her life anymore without Eddie in the Hellfire Club. "I'll just go do my homework and go to sleep early. If that's all right with you?"
"Go ahead, darling,"
her father said, reaching over and squeezing her shoulder. She had no doubt that if she was actually the perfect girl they thought she was, that they would love her as much as she deserved. But she wasn't, and Chrissy knew they didn't. So she left the dinner table and went upstairs to her room. When she got to her bed and flopped down onto it, she noticed that she'd left her door open. Wondering if she could still do what she had earlier, Chrissy pushed at her door and shut it gently.
"Okay.
Okay, but there was a sort of glow that always lasted almost a full day after she'd taken a mushroom. Maybe the ability would fade when that did? Maybe it was time to find a different way of coping. She finished her homework, went to sleep, and didn't wake until it was almost time to go to school. As Chrissy hurried around the house getting ready, it didn't even occur to her to try using magic again. She didn't until Eddie pulled up and she hopped into the van with him. After getting settled and buckled, she turned to look at the mostly empty rear of the van. Near the back sat a paper flyer from one of Corroded Coffin's old shows. Chrissy reached for it, closing her eyes, imagined it floating to her hand. And when she opened her eyes, it was clutched in her fingers. "Guess it still works." Eddie sharply corrected the van's path, shaking his head.
"Nameless, you're turning into a full-on superhero with that shit."
He laughed. "I don't want to be a superhero," she told him. "Though I suppose I wouldn't be above using it to make my life easier." With another laugh, Eddie said,
"Said like a true neutral character."
"I'm going to take that as a compliment." Chrissy set the flyer down gently behind Eddie's seat. Looking out over Hawkins as they drove toward downtown, she said, "Living in Hawkins, I kind of feel like I'm going to need it." As the days went on, Chrissy found herself accessing her new ability more and more often. She couldn't use it too much without getting tired, but every day she felt like she could push it a little further. Chrissy even found she could open her mind the same way the mushrooms let her, without needing to take more. She was careful not to let anyone see it, but she still felt a little like someone was watching every time she used it. She started to think about things she wanted to be able to do, ways she wanted to use the ability. One night, an idea occurred to her, and she had a hard time getting it out of her head. Looking at Eddie from across her room one night, her parents were out of town for the night, Chrissy considered the topic.
"What's on your mind, Nameless?"
He always seemed to be able to tell when something was wrong. Smiling at him, Chrissy said, "I want to ask you about something, but I'm afraid."
"Afraid of what?"
He crawled closer to her, laying on his stomach and propping his head up on his hands. "In all the time you've known me, have I ever been anything other than the tamest pussycat?" Chrissy laughed and pat her hand through his hair.
"You make a good point."
"So, what is it?"
He pressed a kiss to her knee.
"Come on, you can tell me."
Nodding for a moment, Chrissy took a deep breath, letting it out slowly as she gathered her courage.
"Okay. Okay. It's about sex."
"I'm listening."
"God, this was too embarrassing."
Chrissy covered her face and said from behind her hands,
"I want to hold you down and ride you."
His voice sounding a little thin, Eddie said, "I'm still listening."
Chrissy giggled.
"You might like that?"
"Hell yes, I would like that," he said, pressing another kiss to her knee, then further up on her thigh.
"Even if I wanted to hold you down with my magic?"
Eddie groaned, rolling over onto his back.
"Oh, holy shit, Nameless."
"Really?"
Chrissy giggled again at his dramatic antics. Looking at her upside down, Eddie said,
"The question becomes this. How do I know I can trust you?"
"I would never hurt you,"
Chrissy insisted, leaning down and giving him an upside down kiss.
"But my question is, how do I know you're going to be good for me if I don't hold you down?"
Eddie shivered.
"Oh, baby, I'll be good. I promise."
God,
Chrissy just had to put her hands on him. She scrambled over him on the bed, cupping his cheeks in her hands and kissing him as she straddled his hips. Eddie pulled up on his shirt and Chrissy leaned back, helping him out of it. When it was off, she gave him two more desperate kisses before grasping his wrists and pushing them to the mattress over his head. Having him stretched out under her made Chrissy's whole body tingle pleasantly, especially when he looked at her with eyes that were full of surprise, trust, and longing. She knew she wasn't his first lover, but Chrissy thought she might be the one who understood him best.
"Keep your hands there, sweetie," she said, using a little bit of her ability to hold them to the mattress.
When she let go with her hands, Eddie tugged a bit against where she was holding him.
"Oh, wow, that's..."
His eyes got darker.
"Baby.
Let me know if you need me to let go, okay?"
He nodded, pursing his lips and tilting his chin up, asking for a kiss. She gave him one, then decided to have a little fun. She kissed down his neck, then down the center of his chest. There was wiry hair under his belly button, but she liked how it felt under her lips and the way he bucked, nudging her jaw with his erection. Still concentrating on holding Eddie's hands over his head, Chrissy undid his belts, then the fly of his jeans. She tugged them down, Eddie helping her by lifting his hips, then his legs. She took his boxers next. And then he was left laying there, naked on her bed, all stretched out and ready for her. Shivering with want, Chrissy got out of her clothes in record time and straddled him again. Kissing him, Chrissy asked, "Still doing okay?"
"Aching for you,"
he replied, craning his neck and catching her lips in a kiss.
"Please."
"You said you would be good," she reminded him, feeling the way the words made his dick twitch against her thigh.
"Just hold still."
Sitting up, Chrissy reached behind her back, grasping Eddie's cock and gently easing it away from his belly. She worked herself down onto him, watching the way he threw his head back. The muscles in his arms bulged as he pulled against her hold on him, and his desperation to touch her made her so wet that she ended up slipping her pussy the rest of the way onto his cock in one abrupt motion. "Oh, Chris," Eddie sighed, arching his neck, raising his chin up to the ceiling.
"God, it's good."
"It is," she agreed, leaning forward and pressing a few kisses to his neck before sitting down on his cock again. Pleasure sparked through her entire body, and the lamp in the corner flickered. "Oh, shit." Needing to feel more, Chrissy set a nice pace, bouncing on Eddie's cock for a few strokes, then grinding her clit against his pubic bone, seeing fireworks behind her eyelids. She stroked her hands up and down his chest, catching his nipples gently with her nails and making him squirm. Though she was only holding his wrists, Eddie didn't try to take over, didn't try to thrust up into her. He let her set the pace, and God, she loved him for that. As she got close, as she started grinding more and bouncing less, Eddie said in a soft voice, Chrissy, I need to touch you. I need..." With less than half a thought, Chrissy let go of Eddie's hands, loving the way he wrapped his arms around her, the way he sat up, holding her close in his lap as they both came. Chrissy could feel not only her pleasure, but an echo of his, too. Breathing hard, Chrissy kissed him, then told Eddie, "God, I love you. I love you." "Yeah," he replied, kissing her again. "Yeah, I love you too, Nameless." He hugged her tightly.
"You too."
After holding on to Eddie for a long moment, Chrissy couldn't help but giggle.
"What?"
Eddie asked, leaning back far enough to meet her eyes.
"What's so funny?"
"That was so much fun," she admitted, hugging him again. "Please tell me we can do that again sometime." Eddie laughed in turn, kissing her cheek and saying low in her ear,
"Hey, I'm game if you are."
Chrissy shivered again and kissed him.
"Definitely."
The end. Reader's notes. I think the best thing I got from this fic, right, the idea that Chrissy gets psychic powers from taking mushrooms. Well, what if it's more that she was a latent psychic, the way that all of the kids who end up being numbers, right? They were latent psychic abilities that Brenner developed further, right? So we know that kids with latent psychic abilities, or maybe just like a little bit of an ability that isn't fully death tested the way dropping a child in an electric, you know, contraption across the forehead. Like we know that psychics exist in this world, but if you don't know how to access it, you're just going to go along doing whatever. So what if Chrissy is a latent psychic and taking the mushrooms like sort of awakens her awareness to that? But like, take that one step further. What if every one of the kids that Vecna targets, the reason he targets them is because they are latent psychics? Like, okay, this is why I'm able to get into your head and make it worse and make your death open a door. The connection I can build is because you're a latent psychic, right? Ah, this is so good. So then take that one extra step further. And Chrissy has powers the way that Elle has significantly developed more. Where do we go with that? Does Vecna still try to grab her in the brain later in the spring break scenario? Does Vecna reach for Max, but because Chrissy is over at Eddie's, she can sense something is happening and she's able to grab or divert or something? Oh, could give Max some magic mushrooms. I don't know. I love this idea of this was in you the whole time and the mind-opening capabilities of it. So if that is a thing that in this universe Chrissy is having and experiencing and now she can do it on command,
I don't know. There's just so many good potential ways that Terra Waters could take this and ways that I could not fic off of it. Thank you to Terra Waters for having blanket permission to podfic. I hope you, the listener, enjoyed this experience. Thank you for listening and have a nice day.